Let's open our Bibles tonight. Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and Acts chapter 1. If you're following in A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels, this is page 251 and 252. And if you're following in A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels, that was the last time I'm going to say, if you're following in A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels, because we will be finishing the text that's in A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels tonight. So A.T. Robertson, page 251 and 252. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. And there should be the word amen after that. The signs that followed, amen, period, end of the verse, end of the Gospel of Mark. Some of you have a little statement there, all in italics, no evidence that that was in the original text. So the part that's after that, that says they promptly reported all these things, that should not be part of verse 20. So put the word amen after the signs that followed. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. Luke 24, 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. And Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. After he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. Well, last time we looked at Jesus' final discussion with the 11, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, and Acts 1, 3 through 8. Apparently, and we would say, having studied through the life of Jesus appropriately, this final discussion took place, if you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 50, it took place at Bethany. Now, hold on to the thought. You do realize in Acts 1:12 that it says that it took place and they were at the Mount of Olives. But Bethany is on the Mount of Olives. Bethany is on the lower eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. So there is no conflict between Luke 24:50 and Acts 1:12. Luke 24:50 is just a little more specific. Bethany is the place on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus and the 12 had spent much time there. It was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So that's where this final conversation took place. Acts 1:12 said it was a Sabbath day's journey, which is just a little more than half a mile. That's what the Pharisees allowed you to walk on a Sabbath day. Any more than that, you were considered to be violating the Sabbath. So a little more than half a mile from Jerusalem. If you have been to Jerusalem, some of you may have seen the Russian Orthodox Church of the Ascension. It is at the top, at the highest point of the Mount of Olives. The Russian Orthodox Church built that there to say this was the site of Jesus' ascension. However, if Luke 24:50 is right, we do believe the Bible's right, don't we? So therefore, the ascension took place at Bethany, which means the Church of the Ascension is an incorrect location, and it's about a mile and a half wrong from where the ascension actually took place. So Bethany is where they are, and they've been having the discussion that we studied last time. Luke 24:50 and 51, we begin to see Jesus' ascension. Luke 24:50 and 51, Jesus lifted his hands and blessed his apostles. So you can picture that, Jesus, both hands raised, blessing his apostles. As that is happening, Luke 24, verse 50, he lifted up his hands, blessed them, and verse 51 was carried up. He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So his hands are raised. What happens? Jesus is gradually carried up into heaven. Luke 24:51. Acts 1:9 says he was lifted up. Mark 16:19 says he was received up. Now, let's take a moment, and you'll need to go with me to 1 Peter. Some of you will recall when we were studying 1 Peter, these are things that we pointed out. How was Jesus carried up or lifted up or received up into heaven? 1 Peter 3:18. Just look at the end of 1 Peter 3:18. Made alive by the Spirit. Not all of our versions have it, but all of the versions should have capital S, Spirit. Made alive by the Spirit. Jesus' resurrection by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, by which he also went and made proclamation. So Jesus went and made proclamation. How? By the Holy Spirit. We aren't studying 1 Peter tonight, so all I'll say is there's nothing in this text that says Jesus went to the underworld or to hell or even to Hades here. Well, where did Jesus go by the power of the Holy Spirit? End of verse 21. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven. Where did the Holy Spirit take Jesus? Heaven. Not hell. Heaven. And so, this is what we are thinking about and considering now, the ascension of Jesus. Jesus would have ascended gradually. It wasn't, there he goes, he's gone. He ascended gradually until in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, we are told that a cloud received him out of their sight. So when Jesus reached that cloud, he went into it and they could not see him anymore. He would have continued on to heaven. We cannot say for sure, but commentators have wondered, is the cloud the Shekinah glory cloud? And it very well could be, but we're not told that. It just says he was received into a cloud. As Jesus went into the cloud, vanished into the cloud, we're told in Acts 1:10 and 11, that angels, described here as two men in white clothing, and that's how they were described at the empty tomb as well, angelic beings. Angels appear to the apostles and proclaim the Lord's return. Verse 11 is a rather interesting picture. Angels, and they're just there beside the apostles. And what are the apostles doing? They're kind of gaping, open-mouthed, looking into heaven, watching Jesus vanish into a cloud. When Jesus vanishes into the cloud, the angels said, men, are you just going to keep standing here all day looking into the cloud? You do realize Jesus had given them instructions to wait in Jerusalem for power on high and then to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. They weren't supposed to just be standing there looking into the sky. And they teach that Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. When the angels say Jesus will come in the same way, it is obviously not talking about Jesus coming for his church in the sky, what you think of as the rapture. That's not what the angels were talking about. Jesus will come at his second coming. He will do it in the same way that he ascended. It will be personal. It will be visible. It will be to the earth, not to the sky, but to the earth at the Mount of Olives. And it will be accompanied with clouds. Both the rapture and the second coming are accompanied with clouds. So all of these things that we see here, personal, visible, return to the Mount of Olives, accompanied by clouds. Well, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, we won't go there tonight, and we do hope to get there on Sunday evening, studying through the book of Zechariah. But when we get to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, we will read that Messiah will set his foot on the Mount of Olives. He will come to this very spot from which he ascended. And the angels point this out. Mark chapter 16, verse 19 then adds, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. So what did he do? He continued on through the clouds into the courtroom of the third heaven and sat at the Father's right hand, where he still is to this very day. Now, after the ascension, the apostles, Luke chapter 24, verse 52, says they worshiped Jesus. So as they saw him ascend, they began to worship him. Don't you think you would? I hope you would begin to worship him. Then, Also, Luke 24:52, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And that's exactly what Jesus had told them to do, isn't it? Returned with great joy. Luke 24:53, they were continually in the temple praising God. Now, that's very significant because up until this point, after Jesus' crucifixion, they weren't out in public in the temple, were they? They were hiding out. But now they go to the temple and they're continually in the temple praising God. The appearances of Jesus and this final one, the ascension of Jesus, has caused the apostles to see not only the truth, but the power involved in the resurrection. And they are beginning to go public with their faith now. Mark 16:20 adds that they went out and preached everywhere, which would have been after the day of Pentecost. That's the whole story of the book of Acts, isn't it? They preached everywhere, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So, about a month ago, we finished the Gospel of John. A few weeks ago, we finished the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight, we finished the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. Are we finished now with our study in the life of Christ? And the answer is almost. Next week, we will look at the practical and theological significance of the ascension of Jesus and how that even begins to take us then into the book of Acts. The ascension of Jesus is one of the more underrated topics in relationship to the gospel. But it shouldn't be. The ascension of Jesus is as much a part of the gospel as the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll think about that next time. Heavenly Father, as we go to prayer tonight, and we have many people and many topics for which to pray. But Lord, we do thank you that the risen, ascended Jesus at your right hand prays for us, makes intercession for us. May each one here, may each one praying at home or in groups that are listening into this tonight, as we all pray, may we know that we are being undergirded by the person of Jesus praying for us, our ascended Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.